This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
I'm Jessa. I have struggled with picking for several years now. Thinking back on it, I actually started having some, I guess, preoccupations with my arm hair as early as maybe high school. I remember just being really fixated on it and having to I'd have to rub it to have it lay a certain way type thing. So that's kind of when the hair obsession, hair fixation started. Very quickly after that, still in high school, maybe early college, it moved up to my eyebrows, like making sure that my eyebrow hairs were positioned a certain way. And probably, gosh, it could be 6 or 7 years now. For whatever reason, I moved on to my eyelashes, and that became a major fixation to the point that I started picking gaps into my eyelashes. And so several years ago, I actually tried wearing false eyelashes because I found that wearing mascara would make it worse. So I started wearing false eyelashes, which also hid the gaps and made me feel a little bit more normal. It did help with the picking some, but it didn't totally get rid of it. So it's been a while.
At what point in your journey did you find out there were names for these behaviors you were doing?
Oh gosh, not until just a few years ago, actually. So it's funny because I did get a minor in psychology in my undergrad, and if I learned this term, I don't remember associating it with my behaviors. So it wasn't until, I may have already started grad school for myself, also in psychology, and was like, oh, there's a name for it. I had no idea.
How did it feel to know that you're not the only one? There's actually a name for this.
I know that is interesting, right? Because it's not that it's a label necessarily, but just that there is an official name because so many people, this is something that so many people deal with. And it was probably a few years ago too that I decided to be open about it on social media. I had actually started a collaboration for an eyelash growth serum. And so it really challenged me to show my audience, this is what I look like without my false eyelashes. This is why I wear them. I was very vulnerable about, this is what I've been struggling with. And what normally happens when you choose to be vulnerable, people come out of the woodwork, and I'd get messages saying, oh my gosh, I struggle with this too. I thought I was the only one. A lot of people who actually do fixate on their eyelashes, maybe a couple had said their eyebrows, but I was kind of blown away because I don't know anybody in my personal life that struggles with anything like this. So it was a little bit comforting.
How was it sharing so publicly? I know you're doing an endorsement, and this is something, in your life, were you hiding it up until this point?
Oh, absolutely. I remember actually exactly the video where I was also trying to go without a filter, right, on social media, which is hard because the filter also adds some eyelashes. And so when you're trying to hide that insecurity, I was hiding behind that filter, that particular one. And so I had challenged myself, as the mother of a daughter, I'm trying to be mindful of how I present myself online and how I present myself in front of her and things I say and do. And so anyway, oh gosh, I was so nervous because I'm sitting in the parking lot at work. I've not worn false eyelashes. I'm convinced, right, that everybody is going to look at me as soon as I come in and be like, oh my gosh, wow, where are your eyelashes? Why are there gaps? Spoiler alert, Nobody said a thing. Nobody treated me any differently because I didn't have the false eyelashes on. But it was very uncomfortable. I did not want to take my sunglasses off. I do think I kind of stayed in my office more that day. I didn't go out and socialize because I just was convinced that everybody was going to zoom in on my face. That didn't happen. So I tried to reassure myself, it's all right. People really are worried about their own insecurities more than they're worried about yours. So I tried to encourage myself in that. And then, yeah, I started getting messages, throughout that day, throughout that, couple days as people were seeing the story and messaging me like, wow, this is something I really struggle with too. Thanks for speaking about it. I obviously had not found your account yet. And so people were like, I just don't hear, many people talking about this sort of thing. So I do think that it does people a service for us to speak up and be vulnerable about these things.
When I was growing up, I felt like the voices in my head were saying, you better keep this under wraps. Like, you better not share. And so, wanting to get out of that feeling and start sharing was really hard for me. How did you end up getting to that point where you felt comfortable enough?
I think I just kind of went for it because honestly, and people will ask me this sometimes too, like, how are you so comfortable speaking in front of people online? Well, first, I really didn't feel like I was speaking to people online because you're really just talking to your phone. So that is part of it to kind of like separate the two. I had the chance once I recorded the video, I had, the choice to save it and kind of think about it for a few minutes and decide. You have that freedom. It's not live. So you have the freedom even after you post it to take it down. So I kind of reminded myself, you have these fail safes in place in case you change your mind. But pretty quickly, I feel like I got over that because of the encouragement that I was receiving from, some people in my audience. So that really helped because I think sometimes, and I'm sure you feel this way too, even though your platform is built on speaking about this insecurity, doesn't mean that it's easy every day to share about it. There are days where I look at my platform and I'm like, what am I even thinking sharing all of this? People probably think I'm crazy. So I definitely still have those moments, but the encouragement and the connection that you make with other people does make it feel worthwhile.
When you were pulling your lashes, and if you still are there things that you do to help yourself stop?
Yes. So it is still something that I struggle with. I have, through trial and error, found some things that help me. So I did find that wearing mascara makes it worse. It makes it easier for me to grip my lashes and pull them out. So that's why the false eyelashes did help, especially when I would get a bad gap. Then I'd go without wearing mascara for a few days. I'd wear the lashes. Eventually, they just start to rub my eyelids, like pulling the glue off. It just makes them a little bit sensitive. So minimal mascara helps. I do put Vaseline on my eyes, like under eyes, and kind of rub it into my lashes again to keep there from being any sort of like friction. And it's harder for me to grab them. And also the press-on nails. Because I can't grip them as easily. As soon as I, like I've already lost one today, so I'm gonna have to take these off and put new ones on. I really have to be quick with that transition because I will find myself noticing how easy it is for me to grab. You pull one and you've started the whole routine, and it's like I have to finish the entire lid and then keep myself from going to the other eye. I do tend to focus on one eye more than the other. So yes, those are some things that I have found help me.
Did you like the serum? Did you find that it worked for you?
Yes, I did actually. So even though I still pick, I am still using that serum. I'm actually using two, and so I'm kind of alternating them. I did notice lash growth for sure, and I noticed that it was harder before I started the serum. I would barely have to pull, and the lashes were popping out. It was like the roots were not as deep as they used to be. So, actually, I think the first time I'd maybe gone a couple weeks without picking, I was using the serum. I had the nails on, making it harder to grab them. I pulled a lash out, and it started to bleed. That's how deep the root was. So, the serum, it seems to me anyway that it has helped the roots kind of be a little bit stronger, which is good. So now, if and when I do pick, I'm not pulling out as many hairs as I was before. So, fun fact. Yeah.
When you do pull them, do you do anything after? Do you stick them places, rub them on your lips, or anything?
I don't. I've never really done that. When I pick them out, I like observe them and I'm trying to see, did I get like the root? How many did I just pull out? How long were they? But then that's it. I just kind of toss them. And then, because I'm still fixated on finishing my routine, you know? And then once you like pick the one, the other doesn't feel complete and you're trying to show restraint to not pick the second eye. I have tried the rubber band trick too, and that does help some. So pop yourself with a rubber band when you feel the urge to pick. And weirdly enough, for me anyway, it does give me a similar sensation. The popping that you get from pulling your eyelashes, kind of that sting, is similar to the sting that I will feel on my wrist. So it does satisfy that a little bit, but I very quickly have to like go wash my face, put some Vaseline on, make sure the popping myself is not gonna get rid of the desire completely necessarily. So I have to make sure that the other things are done too.
And I wanted to mention when you talked about mascara, that is,
Yeah.
I feel 100% the same way because I was so proud of myself. Lashes were growing back. I put mascara on. I said,
Yeah.
let me tug a little. And like five came out
Yep.
brittle. And I had to start all over because it was like, I had this huge gap. And so for
Yep.
me, that is a boundary that I set. Like, I can't put it on. I won't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you just have to figure out what it is that makes it harder for you to not want to pick and things that make it easier for you going throughout your day. Yeah, I just happen to notice that, wow, the days that I have on, especially mascara that is clumpy, that makes it worse because then there's this obsession to like make sure that they're straight and smooth. And if I'm smoothing them out and I'm touching them and tugging them a little bit, then I'm getting the urge to pull. It's hard for me to put my hands away.
You mentioned earlier that you also would pick your skin. Has there been a time where both are happening simultaneously? Did one kind of transition?
The skin picking has never been as bad or as obsessive as the hair pulling. Now, if we're talking me or one of my kids has sunburn that is now peeling, oh my gosh, then I can fixate on that, pulling. But for myself, fortunately, I've never struggled with picking spots on my skin.
How about any other BFRBs? Nail biting, cheek biting, lip biting?
So, funny enough, and both of my kids actually struggle with this right now with the nail biting. I struggled with that a lot too until I got braces. So, I got braces in middle school. And again, that was enough of a deterrent. I couldn't get my fingers in my mouth the right way or the right way I was used to bite my nails. And so, I guess I had braces on for what's the average, 2 to 3 years or something like that. And so that was long enough for me to not struggle with that. But it's interesting because I see it in my kids. They do not let their nails grow for anything. They're constantly biting. And we do have some skin pulling in one of my kids too. So it's interesting how I'm kind of seeing the cycle repeat itself.
I always feel as though when people are nervous, oh my gosh, what if my kids have a BFRB? I'm thinking, who better to parent them than you?
I try to remind myself of that because it's the same thing that, my platform is built around me talking about my issues with anxiety. And just this week, I was saying how guilty I feel because I see it showing up in one of my kids very strongly. And when I use the term anxiety, I use that to mean chronic, obsessive, outside of the norm. There is normal anxiety, which is, it's fine, it's normal. But this is, worrying about things that most people would not worry about in that moment. That's what I'm starting to see. And so I do try to tell myself, don't feel guilty about this. It's not that you've set them up for this necessarily. But right, if you don't have a parent that has gone through these things, it is harder for them, as it is for anybody else, to relate to you the same way that someone who has actually walked through that struggle can relate to you.
What advice would you give parents of children with BFRBs?
Probably the same thing that I tell myself, which is to have patience. I do find myself feeling frustrated because I don't want them to struggle with this. And so you get that frustration bubbling up, like, just stop. Please just stop. Don't start it. Don't feel the urges, like, nip it in the bud. It's not that easy. We know it's not that easy. I have had people in my life tell me, just stop. You need to just stop picking. If it was that easy, I would. I'm trying. So I guess be patient and try to be understanding. It is a struggle. It's not going to be easy for you to parent them in those struggles, same as it's not easy for them kind of living and learning these struggles. So just be patient. Take a step back if you need to and reevaluate and take it from there, one day at a time.
Is there a memory of a very challenging experience with your BFRB? Did you know HabitAware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
Outside of just my regular picking making me feel very self-conscious, I do have memories like growing up and people kind of calling it out. And then you feel weird, you know, because they've noticed it and it's weird to them because they don't know anybody probably that struggles with that. Just like I didn't know anybody else, you know, it felt weird to me too that I was doing it. I didn't know why I was doing it. I just started. And so it just kind of made me feel self-conscious. I don't necessarily remember the first time that it happened, but it's just a collective feeling of being self-conscious about it, starting with the arm hair. You know, why do you always keep doing that? Just trying to make sure that it's laying right. And so it was just kind of, you know, oh, she's just being particular. And then moving into the eyelashes, you know, it just feels like you're constantly lectured by people. Quit pulling. You're going to pull your eyelashes out. They're going to stop growing if you don't stop picking. And so then those become the voices in your head when you are pulling. Even when you're by yourself, I would still hear those comments like, they're not going to grow back. I mean, that was my big issue with wanting to even try a serum was, gosh, I may have pulled so much that my lashes aren't going to grow back. Is there even any hope for me?
And how did you change those voices and turn them from this negativity of, you know, being scared and fearful that things won't grow back or that I am now undesirable because of the way I look to something more positive?
So it is a process and it's not straightforward. It's not, oh, today I've decided to be positive about this and I will be positive from every moment forward. I may be positive about it for 2 days and then I have a major relapse and I beat myself up on day three, you know? And so that's kind of how the journey has been. I started finding some things that made it harder for me to pick. I would pat myself on the back, you know, figuratively or literally at night if I'd not picked, you know, good job, you made it one day. And I just had to take it one day at a time. The days that I did pick, I would try to rationalize it and say, okay, you did pick, wasn't that much. Let's not wear mascara tomorrow. You know, let's start implementing some things that will make it so that you're less likely to pick tomorrow so that we can kind of break the cycle, right? One day is better than 2 days or 3 days picking. So let's just try to keep it from happening, you know, day two. And so it's just kind of been that process for days and weeks and months. And I do feel like finally I'm at a decent point. My lashes are not lush by any means. They're not very thick, but the lashes I do have are, I mean, considerably long, I guess. So I'm impressed by that. When I see the lashes, when I can see that they are getting to the length where they can curl a little bit, then I do pat myself on the back, you know, and say, look at this progress that you've made. A couple years ago, you thought this wasn't even possible.
I love that. And I love the day by day because it can change. And you can get your, you know, in your head after a relapse, especially, and say, this is how it's going to be forever. And then when things grow back, this is how it's going to be forever. You know, there it's still this mindset of all or nothing, but really it is a minute by minute even.
Yes, because too, I don't know if your picking, if you've associated it with stress or if there's certain things that trigger it. Stress does seem to be one for me. And so that ebbs and flows too. Life, some days are great, other days, something, crappy has happened at work or you're just not feeling it. And then because of that added stress, then, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, how long have I been picking? I didn't even realize. You have to cut yourself some slack, especially if these things that aren't necessarily in your control are triggers. Then again, you just kind of have to say, okay, it happened. It is what it is. We're going to try to recover from it tomorrow and go from there. That's all you can do.
What are some ways that you like to self-soothe besides your BFRB?
I don't pick at my nails, but I do play with them a lot. So I have other, I guess, nervous habits that don't include the picking, but they do have to do with my nails, most of them. So, like, even while we're talking, I'm rubbing my nails underneath. I'll take my pinky nail and rub it underneath my thumbnail. Or I'm playing with my cuticles, like pushing my cuticles down. Or I'm putting my earring back underneath my fingernails. So I don't know why I just realize now that it's all centered around my nails, but at least I'm not picking them, right? Or I'm not biting them. So it could be a more destructive habit, but those are typically the other things that I tend to do.
I know I asked you about a challenging time. When is a time where you have felt success with your BFRB?
Probably in recent months, actually, because it has been several months since I've worn false eyelashes. I did wear them several weeks ago for one day, and I do think that was after a relapse. I did notice a little gap. So I did wear them for one day, but I was able to go without them the next day. I felt good enough about, I was able to spread my lashes out some. And that's kind of a major milestone because for years, every day I had worn false eyelashes. And so, much like, we talked about hiding behind a filter online, much like that, we get used to seeing ourselves a certain way. And when we don't look like that, it becomes hard for us to swallow. And so, that's what was starting to happen is I started associating no false eyelashes with unattractive and undesirable and not okay. And it took a while, weeks probably, to feel comfortable going around coworkers without my false eyelashes, taking pictures, talking to people without them. But the more that I did that, the more comfortable I felt, the more I had to keep speaking to myself. People aren't treating you differently because you're not wearing them. People still like you just as much when you're not wearing them. I'd have to remind myself of that. So the fact that I can look back now and say that I haven't worn them for months is huge. Again, years ago, I wouldn't have thought that that was possible. I even had professional family pictures done without wearing false lashes. And that was the first time in probably 5 years that I'd had pictures done, like without them. So it was a major milestone.
Huge. I was the same way with my false eyelashes. Like, I was not letting them go. I loved them so much, but it is important to kind of take them off and learn to love what I look like without them.
Yes, and that was the hardest part for sure, is telling myself, even after I said other people aren't treating you differently, I still was treating myself differently. I still was looking in the mirror and thinking, ugh, like, you could look better. It would look better if you put the lashes back on. And so now I'm trying to embrace the growth little by little. Sure, I'll still wear lashes for a fancy night out or something like that, just to feel a little bit more glamorous. But it's so important and such a huge step to be able to say, I'm okay without them. I accept myself the way that I look without them.
How would you describe the feeling of picking or having a BFRB to someone who doesn't have one?
That is hard because it does sting, right? And so that's why sometimes I'll pick and it'll hurt and I'll be like, why do I keep doing this? Why am I gonna keep, going through it? Because like I said, I always start at the outermost part of my eye and then I work inwards. And so once I've pulled the end, if I've pulled one and it really hurt, it is an obsession. It's a compulsion to keep going. And so I'll feel it. I mean, my eyelid will swell sometimes. And so when you tell other people that, they're like, I'm not understanding why this is such a thing for you. I don't know why you keep coming back to it. It does sting, but so do tattoos, and people get multiple tattoos all the time. There is something, as odd as it is to say, comforting about the sensation that you feel. So I don't know. That's the best way that I can describe it, I guess. And there is like, there is a sense of satisfaction when you pull until it registers what you've done. Then you're like, oh, that felt so good. Oh, that's like 10. But I gotta keep going. So we're gonna see.
Yeah, that sensation you talk about, it drives the hand back. It's like, oh, it kind of
Yes.
spreads too. It's like, oh, let's pull more and more. And then, yeah, you look and they're all gone.
Yes. It is hard to explain. And one thing that is interesting about this is that it wasn't until I started studying counseling and I'm actually reading through, the diagnostic manual that I see that trichotillomania is in the same category as obsessive compulsive disorder. And that was a light bulb for me too, because I was like, I do struggle with some other, compulsions. And I guess just seeing it put together like that made so much sense, because you feel this urge to keep going back. And in your brain, you're saying, don't do it, don't do it. But it's like your hand, like you said, has a mind of its own. And it's like, no, we're gonna go back. We need to keep, picking. So it just kind of explained some things to me.
And when you talked about the pain, I feel like I can look at my lashes and know which one is going to have that like white bulb. That one hurts so bad. You pull that one and your eye starts to water. It's like,
Yes. Yep. And then I'll notice like the spots start to swell a little bit. But then I gotta keep going. I gotta do the other eye.
are there any other tips that you would give someone in the BFRB community that wants to either lessen their urges or maybe just even feel better about themselves?
That is a process that's probably different for everybody, depending on where you're picking and how noticeable you feel it is. An encouragement would be, like we've been saying, you really can only take it one day at a time. You can't get too far ahead of yourself and say, is this what it's going to be like my entire life? Because then you're just swallowed by these feelings of overwhelm and you're not able to process any of the successes that you've made. You can't clearly think about goals when you're feeling like that. I felt like I just started doing some research on my own to find things that made it harder for me to start the compulsions, because that seems to be the key. Once you start, you're probably going to finish it out. It is very hard to cut the compulsion short. But if you can find some ways that deter you from doing it, that's a success. If you're able to hold yourself off for a while, even if you ultimately pick or pull, it's a goal. I would count that as something to be proud of. You've held yourself off for a while. And so it may take a few days of just holding yourself off for a few minutes before you're actually able to keep yourself from doing it at all. But you have to celebrate the little things. You have to celebrate the baby steps.
What is something you would have liked to hear?
That's a good question. I would have liked there to be less judgment, maybe more of a willingness to understand why this is something that I'm struggling with, instead of just trying to dismiss it and get frustrated that we're not shutting it down right away. Once you're a parent, if you're a parent listening, you understand this to be true. You can tell your kid 5 times to stop doing something, and they're not going to listen to it unless they want to or unless it's easy for them to. Just we start to learn that just telling somebody to stop does not necessarily make them stop. And we need to be understanding of that, especially when it's with a compulsion like this. The anger is useless. It's just going to make the other person feel guilty and it's going to frustrate you. So, really, just to have more understanding, just compassion towards it. Like, okay, I don't understand why you're doing this, but I understand that it's hard for you. And if you want me to call it out, like, hey, you're picking again, then I can do that. But then just berating us doesn't help.
What is your relationship now with your BFRB compared to when you first started?
It is definitely a better relationship than it was. I won't say that I never have feelings of guilt with it, because that's not true. But the guilt that I feel when I do it is less because I know that I've made progress. So the more that I'm able to celebrate the progress I've made, the easier it gets in moments like that to show myself some grace and say, yeah, you did pull today, but it was only one eye. Yeah, you did pull today, but it's been weeks since you pulled last. You just have to learn how to congratulate yourself, even for those little things.
What has your BFRB taught you?
I guess in some ways, it has taught me to be more accepting of myself. We do struggle with things, all of us, we're unique. We struggle with things that the person next to us doesn't. Maybe you don't know somebody in your circle who struggles with this, but I guarantee that someone else in your circle struggles with something that nobody else does. So it's easy to feel like when you don't know someone that picks or has a compulsion like this, it's easy to feel like you're the only one and that you're the oddball out. But I am learning that that's not the case. I just don't have a big enough circle that encompasses everybody and all their struggles, for me to have personally met someone that struggles with this. We're all human. We all have things that we struggle with. And so I guess that has kind of going through this journey has solidified that for me. I'm not the total oddball out.